Thank you very much. You are all welcome to this very important meeting. It's our first meeting in this fifth parliament of public question. It's led committee and the Department of Public Works led by the Honorable Minister. Honorable Minister and the Deputy, the DG, you are all welcome to this very important meeting. We are here to listen to your budget votes, the strategic and the annual performance plan 2014-2015. Because we are new in this committee, and because we don't know each other, even ourselves don't know each other very well, I would like to take this opportunity by introducing ourselves one by one. I know we might not talk all of us when we deal with the call, but transport is that for today. I would like members and the staff of the COP to introduce themselves, and then thereafter we switch over to the department led by the minister to introduce his department. We are also grateful to have the minister and the deputy to be part of our meeting today. That shows the commitment and the seriousness that they show to the NCOP. Thank you very much, Minister, for displaying that. Surely our work also, you elevate us, take our work seriously when we do our work mandated by the Constitution and mandated by the by Parliament. So thank you very much. You are very honored when you are amongst our midst, despite your hectic schedule. Without saying much, I'm very strict on time because we'll work towards 12:30. Not 1 o'clock, but 12:30. The reason for that. I would want members to switch off their phones or put them on silent. Secondly, members, you should not have long preambles when asking questions. Go straight to the point so that we listen very carefully. We would want to go back to our constituencies and report about public works programs, but the goals that they're doing. Without saying much, ladies and gentlemen, I'll take the opportunity and introduce myself as Litos Suka. I'm the chairperson of this select committee. I come from the Eastern Cape, PE. Then it will be followed by the members themselves. Well, I do have a party, Kundu Gnazmuk. I derive my mandate from the African National Congress. Thank you very much. You get close to members, and then followed by the staff, and then the department. Thank you.
Thank you, Chef. My name is Bulimot Lotele. I'm from the Northwest and I represent the African National Congress. I'm the member of the Select Committee. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to everybody, particularly the Minister and the Deputy Minister. My name is Masipa Kulekhale. I'm from Limpopo Province. I am representing the African National Congress.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Honourable Minister, Honourable Deputy Minister, Chairperson. I'm Elsa Samlingen from the National Council of Provinces, and I represent the Eastern Cape. And in the past, I worked in committees where we stand together as a committee, and that we will hold and uphold the Constitution and not what our parties are saying.
Bonjour, I'm Mane Jacqueline, and I'm from the Western Cape, and I represent the ruling party there, or here.
But the reality of the matter is that because it's our first meeting, we don't know each other. That's why we say, let's take this route. In the next meetings, we will not introduce ourselves in terms of the party. We don't know each other. It's our main speeches. Yes. It's our main speeches today. Thank you. Over to you, sir. Sorry.
Then,
my name is Sibiwa Charles Mtimoya. I come from Bumalanga in a small village called Sevali to next to Oshanga. And I have been with the this committee. I owe my being as well to the AUC.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to everybody, especially our Minister, Deputy Minister. My name is Eddie McGill Omangwe. I represent the province of Amte and the ruling party in that province, which is the ANC.
Thank you. Another member, if not, so I will ask the staff to introduce themselves starting from here. Who are you?
Good morning. My name is Nose Piwo Tinsulu, the committee secretary from committee.
Good morning, Lutumos Lishuma, Conscious Advisors of the Committee.
Good morning, I'm Pilot Kwebu, I'm also the Committee Secretary.
Good morning, Alistair Rasmus from Committee Sector.
Good morning, Siki Baloi, I'm the Secretary to the Chairman.
Thank you. So, as a bed there, the lady, who are you?
Amanda.
Amanda. Oh, okay. Amanda. Okay. Thank you.
Zahira, also from DMG.
Thank you, Zahira. Thank you. That's the lot. Can we request the department to lead us in introducing themselves?
Thank you. The curiosity of the release of public works. Good morning, colleagues. Jeremy Cronin, Deputy Minister of Public Works.
Good morning, Chair, honourable members. My name is Zwonga Labandu, Director General of the Department of Public Works.
Good morning, Chair, honourable members. My name is Cox Mukoro. I'm the Chief Finance Officer for Public Works.
Good morning. My name is MJ Naika from Strategic Management Unit.
I'm Kira Seidel, acting DVG Governance Public Works.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. My name is Clive Nchisa, DBG Corporate Services.
Good morning, honorable Chair, honorable members. Nila Mabuza, Deputy Director General of Key Accounts Management. Good morning, Chair, honorable members. Ignatius Sario from the Funding Public Works Program.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Tanaya Govinda. I'm the head of the turnaround of public works and the acting head of the property management trading entity.
Honourable Chair, honourable members, my name is Peter Chiharisco, acting deputy director general of investment management. Thank you.
Good morning, honourable Chair, honourable members. I am Sasa Sibin, DED Inner City Regeneration.
Good morning, honourable Chair, honourable members. My name is Nkosi Vilagazi, acting deputy director general of projects and professional services.
Good morning, Chair, honourable members. My name is Lydia Kufi. I'm responsible for the Minister's Special Project.
Chairperson, honourable members. My name is Okoma Shaba. I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer.
Good morning, Chair, and honourable members. My name is Lois Masha. I'm the Director of Monterey.
Good morning, Chair and honourable members. My name is George Mumela from the Office of the Minister, Chief of Staff.
Good morning, Chair and members of Sabelo Mali, Media Liaison Officer in the Office of Minister.
Good morning, Chair, honourable members. My name is Tando Wababa. I am the Minister.
Good morning, Chair.
You are the Minister.
I'm the Minister.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. I'm also from the Ministry. Minister's advisor, John Lewis.
Good Chair. Any other one? Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Without saying much ado, Minister, I think let's go straight to the business of the day. The terminal is over 10, and we'll give the department at least an hour to make the presentation. What about the broadcast level? We'll be listening to you then. The procedure is that after the presentation, we'll request members to interact with the presentation. And then after we take it the way forward. Thank you very much, Minister. The floor is yours.
Thanks, Chairperson of the Select Committee and the Honorable Members, Deputy Minister Crony, the DG, the Senior Management of the Department, and ladies and gentlemen, the deputies, 10 minutes of what has been allocated to us. The other part will be for the DG. Let me first thank you for inviting us to address you today. This is a particularly auspicious occasion as we meet for the first time as the Department of Public Works and the new honorable members of the Select Committee. Let me also say, Honorable Chair Suka, that I value these engagements with the GM. We value very much the engagements with the Select Committee, and we take very seriously our duties to account to the people's representatives in Parliament. So you won't have any answers about us not coming to the committee. If it might happen that one of us is not available, but one will always be there. It would only be in certain circumstances where both of us are not available, but we'll make sure that there's somebody. So this is, after all, is at the very heart of what we think is our democratic process. The elected MPs overseeing in detail the activity of the official and also holding the executive to account. And I speak for the DM and the DG when I say you have our full support in the important work that you do. The DG and his team, Jefferson, will provide a detailed presentation on the set plan and the annual performance plan. But in the time available, I want to provide a strategic overview of where we are as a department, talking two parts. The first one, to map out high level, or at a high level, our vision and priorities for the next 5 years of this administration. And secondly, to provide you with the progress report on the turnaround strategy for the Department of Public Works. Well, mindful that we only succeed in the goals that we set ourselves if we improve the performance of the department. Let me start with the turnaround. In 2012, Chairperson and Honorable Members, we developed a 7-year plan to rebuild the Department of Public Works. And this was done with the support of the National Treasury. This plan envisages three phases. The first phase being the stabilization, the second being efficiency enhancement, the third being the sustainable development. On the first phase, which is stabilization, the stabilization phase, this was manifested by the poor performance by DPW and the lack of adequate management and financial control, culminating in 8 years of adverse audit findings, as well as high levels of fraud and corruption, which were evident in the reports of the public protector and the SIU. And by the way, some of those investigations started long before 2010. Some started in 2009, those investigations. We are 2 years now in the 7 years then, and we have stabilized the core business areas, which is the leases, the immovable asset register, and the finances. I always say, if it's a patient, the patient was in the ICU, profusely bleeding, and now we've stopped bleeding. But it doesn't mean that the patient is well. I always use the analogy. So we've just moved out of the ICU. On leases,
with the National Treasury, we've conducted 100% audit of all the leased property and introduced more robust systems to manage the leasing portfolio. The exercise also helped us to identify areas of possible collusion for forensic investigation. On the movable asset register, simply put, for the first time in the history of South Africa, or the South African state, Public Works have now produced what we call a reliable register of state property, which is 95% complete. The National Public Works accounts for 107 properties. And yes, it's 107,000, yes. And some 30,000 land parcels. 95% of these assets have been physically verified. This, we believe, is a game changer. We now have a much better idea of what we have. We can start to use this massive property portfolio to leverage economic development and job creation. The third area under stabilization is the clean audit process. Lizzy and the CFO tell me we can expect a much improved audit outcome for 2013-14. It has been a huge task to impose proper controls on the finances of the department. Remember, we're talking about 8 years. The last three, we were talking about disclaimers. For example, in relation to irregular expenditure, the team has had to go back as far as 2009 and 2010 to review some 1.5 million transactions. Because we believe they are not at cards to good governance and commerce. Some of the questions which we are still there receiving, they go back to 2006. And we can't say, no, we know nothing about that. We are now leading the department well to answer those questions. So you need to understand that to be able to come to where you want to, it's not just going to be easy. But a word of caution, we were able to stabilize the department by insourcing schemes that we left. The priority now is to consolidate the work of the stabilization phase. For this reason, we have implemented a program to ensure that skills are transferred and we build capacity in-house. We have used a few companies, but we can tell you that we've been using a lot of interns, especially the graduates, on a contract basis. Some of them who are BCom graduates and so on, and we're very proud of that. Phase two is efficiency enhancement. This is where we seek to improve the business model and the processes of the department. This will be the focus of the next 5 years. Critical, this involves the following. Operationalizing a structure which aligns with the mandate of the department. Principally, the operationalization of the property management trade entity, which we call the PMTE, in line with the earlier cabinet decisions to ring-fence and professionalize the property business. And what do we mean by this? Honorable members, you know that if you want to run the property business, you need property economists, you need property lawyers, you need accountants, you need actuaries, you need highly qualified in that particular field. If you look at our property portfolio, it's running in billions. In fact, it is estimated that it's almost 7 to 10 times bigger than Group for the biggest private property, what you call institution. To run that thing, that's ordinary in the department, and you appoint ordinary general staff. That's why we have the shenanigans. It's a highly specialized area. That is why we are having special measures in this particular area. The second part of that is operationalization of the governance, risk, and compliance branch to drive compliance and anti-fraud and corruption campaign. That's advocacy, investigations, and hearings. You will know what is going on in the property industry, even in the private sector. There's a lot of shenanigans there. you will know the scandals we have been in the public works. That's why we put this particular division, which is the Government Risk and Compliance Branch, because we want to nail these issues and deal with them. So this DRC branch will also drive a proper process of strategic planning, incorporating risk management, performance management, and process re-engineering. The objective is to develop a proper service delivery model in line with the Department of Public Service and Administration requirement, which is based on the needs of the client department and enhancing the performance of the interview. In the construction project management environment, lack of planning over years has led to underspending on the budget and the cost overruns and delays on individual projects. This is being addressed through greater coordination between branches and units along the construction value chain, the introduction of a proper planning methodology in the form of the infrastructure delivery management system, and the training of the officials with the assistance of Treasury. The department is also developing an ICT, that is Information Communication Technology Plan, to be implemented as part of the second phase of the turnaround. In the modern era, the so-called information age, an appropriate and a robust IT platform is so essential to success. So the very survival of any business today, it's that ITC. I must say, Honorable, that person with due respect, the reason why Public Works is bleeding today was because of this outsourcing and privatization, where people were talking about the core business. As a result, a lot of business environment professionals left the department and came back as consultants. That's why we sit at the problem today. So this ideology of saying core business, these other things must be done by private sector. That's what has changed Public Works, why we don't have skills today. In fact, a lot of people were engineers, and you mentioned all the built environment professionals, especially those who are old today, were trained in Public Works. They were trained in Public Works before they went even into the private sector. So the third phase is sustainable development. This is where we are fundamentally, or we fundamentally review the mandate, the purpose and responsibility of Public Works in the different spheres of government. This will involve a process of research and consultation with stakeholders to develop a new white paper culminating in a Public Works Act. Very interesting. There's no legislation directly for Public Works. It's different legislation taken all over than the Constitution. That's very interesting. That is why this issue of working together with the different spheres, sometimes it becomes a voluntary. So this is one of the areas which we will be talking to the legislation later on. And the concurrent mandate, let me emphasize this point. The positive review will be carried out in consultation and partnership with the entire Public Works family. I'm very mindful of the concurrent mandate in relation to Public Works and the roles and responsibilities of parties, some of which need further clarification. And over the last one or 2 years, the National Department of Public Works and the Provincial Department have increasingly cooperated in a number of areas, particularly in relation to a compilation of the comprehensive and the credible removable asset register and the rollout of the EPWP. The relationship can best be described as of mutual interdependence. That to demonstrate as an example. I asked a question to some people one day. Who is responsible for the construction of the roads in the municipalities and in provinces? And you can't get a clear answer. There's a lot of confusion. Some of the roads are municipality responsibilities, some are provincial responsibility. But many people think that is the role of Public Works. Even parliamentarians, when they approach you, what about that road, what about that road, what about that road? out of all the issues which are the responsibilities of the provincial public works, many people think that it is our responsibility. Even some of you who ask questions, they think that they have to answer questions on behalf of the provincial public works, which are not our responsibility constitutionally, which are responsibility of somebody else, even politically. But there's no legislation which forces us to work together, unless we talk about intergovernmental issues and so on. Sometimes it depends from province to province. I think the parliamentarians need to know. That is why we're talking about a public works act. It's going to be very, very important. So other areas of mutual interest under discussion, they include the devolution of the property rates and taxes. This is a big question. Phase 2 of the Chupen Technical Assistance Program, and we're very much interested in that. The small town revitalization program, alternative building technologies, the expropriation bill, and the implementation of the infrastructure development system. There's even more pressure now that we deal with the expropriation bill, given the huge infrastructure implementation in the country now. We have to deal with this particular matter. Let me summarize where we are with the turnaround. In a matter of ages, we are consolidating the capitalization work. As the main focus of the next 5 years, we seek to enhance the efficiency of our current business operations, employing better planning, performance management, and ICT solutions as our tools. And simultaneously, we are embarking upon the fundamental policy review, culminating in the Public Works Act, to refresh and clarify the mandate of the Public Works Committee and to establish a platform for sustainable development. The second part of the strategic vision for 2014-19, last month, I announced to the top management of the department my 5-year policy statement and vision for the Department of Public Works. So allow me, Chairperson, to quote the summary of the 5 key priority areas. 1, the creation of the 6 million work opportunities for the poor and unemployed people through labor-intensive delivery of the public services and infrastructure. The public employment programs must facilitate community participation and provide tangible benefits to communities, the society, and the economy. This has been elevated to a commission led at the President's called Public Employment Programs, involving a number of ministries. Because these EPWP programs are involving a number of partners. The key is coordination. So the Honorable Member from the Governing Party in the Western Cape, I don't think now there's any dispute about his short-term jobs, because even in the manifesto of the TA, it was very clear that they're talking 7 million instead of 6 million. So everybody agrees now. So that is the jobs which we have to focus on. So this is a commitment to the people of the country, which I take very seriously. We're expanding EWP both quantitatively and qualitatively. Because some of these jobs are not just short-term. When you talk about maintenance of the public buildings, when talking about greening, so some of those jobs can be jobs in the long term. Yes, we provide the stipend to the unemployed people, but the program deliver much more to individual participants and to their community. This program is receiving the full attention of the Deputy Minister within the department. The second priority area is for professionalizing of the property management trade entity and the transformation of the core property business, including construction management. This necessarily includes a program to rebuild the technical and the professional skills in the department. We're seated with a very bad situation where about 70 to 80% of the employees in public works are in the general field, not in the specialized field of property management and construction. Whereas our mandate about 60 to 70% is in those fields. And you're talking about skills. We will have to grow those skills whilst we're trying to recruit in the private sector. And remember, they are not coming cheap. So this is the core of the business of public works, custodianship of the state immovable asset register, and the provision of accommodation to government, which accounts for close to 70%. C is the operationalization of the government risk and compliance branch to drive the anti-corruption I've talked about and to spearhead the second phase of the turnaround. Efficiency enhancement using the tools of planning, service delivery, module improvement, plan the processes, and performance management. This also means working with the HR and the change management to promote committed performance driven workers. Because we must accept that the issue of the work ethic, of the work culture, of the performance culture is not in there in the public service. And we start to deal with it. And we have to deal with it. We have to engage the unions. And we can't push away the unions, by the way. They are a reality. We have to engage them and make them understand this is where we are moving. Parliament and the Select Committee rightly demand greater accountability from the Department of Health and Public Works. This is also my objective here, to beef up the strategic planning processes and then to then translate plans and targets into individual performance agreements to be cascaded down from the top. The fourth area, in consultation with all the stakeholders, particularly the wider public works committee, I've said it, the policy review culminating into that act, this we believe will provide a solid foundation for the third phase of the turnaround, sustainable development, and clarify the roles and responsibilities, and refresh or restate the mandate of public works. We sit with the reality that in some instances, some departments, because of the chaos which has been happening in public works, they open their leaky public works when they look for the construction of this or that and so on, because of the chaos of public works. We're trying to stop that, reaffirm the mandate of public works. Five, in partnership with our entities, the Charter Council and the relevant stakeholders, a renewed, sustained program of action to transform the built environment, a construction and the property sector as part of the second more radical phase of the transition to democracy. This must include support for the black and female contractors and property practitioners, as well as the production of the professionals and artisans in the built environment discipline. We cannot be complacent that only 25% of the built environment professionals are only black after 20 years of democracy. There are a lot of young graduates in these fields, but they get frustrated because you are sitting with the old boys there who are closing in this particular built environment industry. There's no transformation at all. And you know what is also happening in the construction industry. We will have to deal with these two industries, open them up for South Africans by dealing with the issue of the field, but also enforcing that when we give contracts, there are conditions which are attached. People must be able to train the young black professionals to be qualified built environment, especially today. Some of them who are candidates, they end up being that representatives carrying weight between the companies and other companies, not being exposed when it's going to make a difference and be able to be qualified. We are ready to confront this particular. Tomorrow we're meeting with the various stakeholders, SUBSEC, MPSA, the BBC construction sector, with the unions, and we're going to talk about transmission. In fact, on Thursday morning. So this is the strategic vision for the next 5 years. The DG will present the programs and the specific target. I'm sorry, Chairperson, that I took a bit long, but the DG will take us through. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. I think that was very necessary to scale the environment in which we are going to operate. But just before the DG takes the process forward, I'll let the honourable members just introduce himself, as we have done so of us.
My apologies for being late, Chairperson. I get a lot of you that are more welcome. My name is Yunus Fahad Pumalanga, EFF. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for that. DG, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Guided by the request We have prepared a presentation that seeks to highlight the key issues in line with the instruction that we got from the committee. The presentation will cover the following four main categories: the regulatory requirements as an introduction, and then part A will deal with the strategic overview, overall performance outlook, which deals with the legislative mandate introduction of the strategic context and policy initiatives, etc. And part B will deal with the strategic objectives and go to each of the programs at a high level and indicate where the major portions of the allocations are going to be, which will include the allocation to the various public entities that fall within the department. And then an overall scan on the infrastructure budget and the PMGE infrastructure budget. If we look at the regulatory requirements, we prepared the strategic plan guided by National Treasury Framework and the new format of 2010, which was then supplemented by instruction notes of 2011, which requires full compliance with certain mandatory framework and strategic plans and annual plans requirements. The strategic plan itself covers 5 years, and then the APP, which is the annual assessment plan, will then be looking at the upcoming, the current year in which is the year that has just started in April, and then refer to some of the issues that relate to the MTF period, which covers 3 years of the strategic plan. Given that is described by National Treasury, we have sought to extract the main key issues from that strategy plan. I go to the strategic overview and just recap for the committee members what is the legislative mandate of the department. We derive it from the constitution, particularly under Schedule 4, Part A of the Constitution, which deals with the functional areas of concurrent national and provincial legislative competence. The minister made reference to that as one of the key areas that we still need to strengthen in terms of the governance management around that. The legislative mandate is primarily governed by the Government Immovable Asset Management Act of 2007, which is in short known as GIAMA. We also regulate the construction industry and built environment through the Construction Industry Development Board Act of 2000 and the six professional council acts that regulated the six built environment professions and through the Council for the Built Environment. And the minister made reference to some of those issues that remain challenges with regard to the transformation agenda of those. Our policy mandate is derived from the Public Works White Paper of 1997, which is entitled Towards the 21st Public Works Toward the 21st Century. It was followed up by a White Paper in 1999, which was entitled Creating an Enabling Environment for Reconstruction, Growth and Development in the Construction Industry. Construction Sector Transformation Charter, Property Sector Transformation Charter of 2007, the DPW, Department of Public Works, Broad-Based Black Economy Empowerment Strategy of 2006, which can also deal with issues of dealing with property management strategy on the broad-based black economic empowerment, broad-based black economic empowerment, job creation and poverty alleviation of 2007. And the Green Building Framework that has been developed in 2011. Our vision, as we seek to transform and the department, is a service-oriented public works department delivering value and contributing to the national agenda for social and economic development. Our mission is to provide quality accommodation and related services to our clients, international partners, and other clients, including Parliament. Efficiently and effectively manage the immovable assets in our custodianship, actively contribute to the national goals of job creation and poverty alleviation through the expanded public works program, provide a safe built environment advice to our stakeholders, including the regulation thereof. Provide strategic leadership to the South African construction and property industry. We confirm that our strategic plan and budget is aligned with the broader policy priorities that have been set by government. And here are as follows. The key priorities are outcome 4, which is a reference to chapter 3 of the NDP, which requires the creation of a decent environment to increase economic growth. In that regard, we contribute to our EPWP, which the minister has already alluded to has been enhanced. And phase 2 of the EPWP, which covers the period 2014, aims to create 6 million work opportunities. In that regard, the budget spent in order to achieve that outcome is 1.95 billion, including running expenses. I will provide the other allocations that go to other agencies in slide 9. Outcome 6, which is a reference to chapter 4 of the NDP, an efficient, competitive, and responsive infrastructure network. The department will continue prioritizing infrastructure requirements for the land ports of entry to facilitate cross-border trade and strengthen socio-economic development. In that regard, we will be spending 233 million in that regard. The National Infrastructure Maintenance Strategy developed is aimed at coordinated program of action being led by the department and supported by Construction Industry Development Board to deal with infrastructure maintenance for different sectors. We've allocated an amount of 20 million to achieve that goal. Under the EPWP allocation of 1.9, 1.678 billion will be spent to transfer to the following entities. EPWP integrated grants to provinces to cover for infrastructure, environment, and culture as well at the provincial level. 346.8 million in 2014, growing slightly to 256.411 and 432 over the MTF. The EPWP social sector incentive grant 257, 367, 374.6, 393.3 million over MTF. Next 4 years. The integrated EPWP integrated grant to municipalities, again for implementing infrastructure, environmental, culture and social sector at that particular level, we have allocated 594.5, 718.9, and 705.9 over the MTF period. And then there are also allocations to non-profit institutions, what we call infrastructure. 477.484 to implement program under EPWP. Now outcome 7, our contribution to the rural development is collaborating with several departments of rural ministry to coordinate infrastructure planning and ensure maximum impact in rural areas. The actual infrastructure allocations in that regard are done at the provincial level and at the municipal level. We provide a budget of 2 million in order to support that outcome. Outcome 12, reference to chapter 13 of the NDP, an efficient and effective development oriented public service through strategic planning instruments such as the user asset management plans and the custodian asset management plans. The department provides accommodation to user partners that promote innovation, accessibility, sustainability, environmentally sensitive, and economic growth and social empowerment. This is this is the area where we run our property management. And the allocation there is 510 million for 2014-15.
In addition to those allocations I have already mentioned, the following priorities have been considered as significant in the strategic plan. On the outcome one, reference to Chapter 9 of the NDP, which is quality-based education, we are collaborating with the Department of Basic Education in replacing inappropriate structures in 36 schools and making aesthetic improvements to about 915 schools. The budget for this is allocated in the vote of TPP. We are assisting and facilitating the demanding on their behalf. Outcome 5, reference chapter 9 of the NDP, skills and capable workforce support an inclusive growth path. We have a number of development programs, such as the young professionals programs, the internship programs, learnership programs, and artisan program providing valuable on the job experience. On budget, we have 3 million allocated, augmented by an allocation from the construction sector. Outcome 8, reference to Chapter 8 of the NDP, where we contribute to sustainable human settlement and improved quality of household life. We contribute in this regard in the release of well-located land and properties for development proposed to and supported to the Department of Human Settlements. In this regard, the our function is to release the land and therefore the answer budget implications. Outcome 10, which is the reference to Chapter 5 of NDP, protect and enhance our environmental assets and natural resources. We will continue to implement the credibility from local learning governance transition to a low carbon economy. In this regard, in the current year, 2014, we are working with the Department of Environmental Affairs who has the budget and implementing the program. And secondly, we appoint service providers who do the improvements on risk, and we share the savings, which we then reallocate to other to enhance the program. In the current year, under review, was not allocated an amount because we are the spending is done in partnership and collaboration with Environmental Affairs. Outcome 15, which is the reference to Chapter 15 of the NDP, nation building and social cohesion. In this regard, our contribution only is in relationship to the outstanding program that was meant to assist with the city of Swana in creating a more functional and cohesive living in our city. We are assisting in ensuring that a similar approach is taken elsewhere where we have to build government properties for use by government partners. The introduction and strategic context of each of the strategic goals, which I think I have covered most of them in the interest of time, seeing that we're already approaching your time is actually. I will keep it to a large extent. I've covered the budget allocation that relates to those items.
But you must not give too much because it's very critical that we understand the flow.
Okay.
You know, I will give you the time. I'll give you more time.
Okay. Thank you very much. Our first strategic goal, and I have indicated, is an efficient, competitive, and responsible accommodation infrastructure network. The goal statement in there is to manage the life cycle of immovable assets under the custodianship of the department effectively and efficiently. You will have heard the minister making reference to our property portfolio and the asset register task. Second strategic goal is providing strategic leadership and regulation of the construction of property sector to promote economic empowerment and skills. the board's intent there is to provide the leadership to the South African construction and property sectors while ensuring that there is transformation and regulation thereof through the development of legislation and best practices. The third one is good corporate governance to support effective and efficient service delivery, provide strategic leadership in ensuring effective governance, sound resource management, and integrity of the operations of the department. Number four, strategic goal is decent employment through inclusive economic growth. The goal statement is to lead and coordinate the creation of additional employment opportunities relayed by intensive delivery methods and skills programs for participation of the unemployed in delivering needed services and creation of assets. Our contribution towards the strategic goal is to contribute towards the comprehensive rural development, and our goal statement in that regard is improved land administration and special planning for integrated development in urban and rural areas. Planned policy initiatives. The first one is the review of the department's white papers, as I have indicated before. Those white papers being the public works towards the 21st century, creating an enabling environment for reconstruction, growth and development in the construction industry of 1999 towards development of an enabling legislation, which the minister alluded to as one of the gaps in ensuring that the mandate of the department consolidated appropriately. Established the Agreement South Africa as a public entity mandated to assess non-standardized and or unconventional construction products, materials and systems fit for purpose, although Agrimas exists as a corporate structure within the CSIR, it has to be separated from the CSIR because it 100% reports to the department, and the form itself does not accord itself with the law. For example, every year we incur the regular pension as a result of that corporate form. Promulgation of a new exploitation act. Develop a draft built environment professions policy towards possible amendments to the legislative framework governing the BPs. Promulgation of the new Exploitation Act, appealing the Exploitation Act of Act Number 63 of 1975, mainly to ensure consistency with the Constitution and uniformity in the expropriation of property by all expropriating authorities. Develop legislation to establish the Independent Development Trust as a public entity to support the state in the delivery of social infrastructure. Develop a green building policy and strategy for the department in respect to the government's green economy initiatives. I think the minister did allude to the fact that we've had to undergo a turnaround, to develop a turnaround strategy in order to change the situation of the department. Under the turnaround strategy, which was launched in 2012, aimed at addressing multiple issues and underperformance that ultimately resulted in progressive negative audit reports by the Auditor General, we have developed 23 key stabilization projects, of which we then consolidate and conceptualize 10. As key ones that to ensure that we are able to move out of the situation. And these are the development of the service delivery framework, the operationalization of the property management trading entity, and the establishment of a government component within the department to deal with the proper management of the property portfolio that we have. Developing a complete and credible register of state immovable assets, the minister has already indicated progress thereon. Conducting a comprehensive audit of leased properties and establishment of a leasing management framework. Restructuring of supply chain management to better meet business requirements. And this we are doing in collaboration with the National Treasury Chief Procurement Officer.
improving internal efficiencies to meet the service delivery requirements of our prestige clients, which includes the honorable members here. Improving internal efficiency, developing an information technology strategy, architecture platform as a key enabler, improving infrastructure delivery through the application of best practices in terms of processes, structures, and systems, actively combating fraud and corruption, both within the department and the construction and property sectors, and holding transgressors accountable for their action. Development and implementation of an effective change management strategy that enables a performance-driven culture as part of the transformation of the department. We were given a budget by National Treasury which progressively reduces over the next 3 years to achieve this. It is aligned to the projects that I have indicated. And they have given us 207 for 2014-15, 74 for 15-16, and then 72 for 16-17. And we hope by that time we will have stabilized significantly. We have reviewed our organizational structure, which will be approved and implemented over the years. We have also approved the establishment of 6,818 posts, of which 5,506 are filled. An integrated human resource plan has been developed to respond to the government's priorities and to align the department's workforce with the mission, vision, strategy goals, and financial resources of the department. We have specific challenges, however, in producing the wide range of skills required for the construction and engineering fields in order to meet our long-term infrastructure delivery objectives, a matter that is being addressed, and the minister has indicated how we sought to address by insourcing where these exist. The department will therefore continue to implement its strategy to bring in skilled graduate professionals through development programs, and then other targeted interventions in place include the recruitment of technical and professional staff to overcome the short-term challenges. We have an allocation of $1.6 million for compensation to deliver on this. Over the years, we estimate a shortfall of about $3 billion, but we are reallocating and prioritizing within the existing resources, prioritizing the core skills required for the delivery of our business first before anything else, as we seek to reduce in the areas that are less non-core areas. But three strategic objectives, and at the higher level, care program. We achieve our objectives through five programs, which is administration, immovable assets, asset management, expanded public works program, property and construction industry policy regulations, auxiliary and associated services. These are highlighted in the estimate of national expenditure document that is published by National Treasury under the chapter of public works, as well as the strategic plan that we submitted. The strategic objectives of program one are quite standard as described. It's to promote sound corporate governance practices within the BW and ensure effective and sound financial resources and corporate resource management. That is where our corporate services are located, and by design by National Treasury also, where accommodation requirements for the use by the department are located. The bulk of this program budget goes towards office accommodation and corporate services functions, and its total budget allocation is $1.175 billion for 2014-15. Our biggest program, one of our biggest programs, movable asset management, provides for the effective life cycle management of removable assets under the custodianship of the department. And then it deals with issues of land administration and special planning for integrated development in urban rural areas, related to the provision of accommodation in the various areas for our clients to achieve their role, their objectives. The selling focus for the program includes the infrastructure, immovable asset register, the lease review as part of the general strategy, and the budget allocation for this program is 2.8 C1 per year. The third one, expanded public works program, coordinate, monitor, and evaluate the creation of work opportunities and income support to the poor and unemployed so as to contribute to the national goal of job creation. And that is where 6 million job opportunities are to be managed from. The bulk of the program's budget goes towards the payment of performance-based incentives to eligible provinces, municipalities, and non-profit organizations. And the budget allocation on the vote of public works, as I have indicated, is 1.951 billion for 2014-15. However, the sector departments also have a contribution allocated for environment. I think there are four sectors. It's environment, infrastructure, it's social, and those four programs, sectors, their allocation for contributing to EBWP program are allocated to the various departments. Our job is to coordinate, to monitor all the implementation of that and to verify the delivery of their targets, the sector. Property and construction industry policy regulation program is one of the smallest programs. Its aim, strategic objective, is to promote growth and transformation of and competition in the construction and property industry, promote uniformity and best practices in construction and immovable asset management in the public sector. Largely, policy development objectives. The spending focus for the program will be on building the expropriation bill and the Agri South Africa bill in Parliament. For the year 2014-15, 41 million is allocated to this program. Auxiliary and associated services is to render auxiliary services to state functions and meet financial commitments on compensation for losses, preservation of national memorials, training, and skills development. The bulk of spending in this program goes towards goods and services and transfers and subsidies for the state functions and associated sort of assistance to organizations for preservation of national memorials. The budget for this program for 2014-15 is 92 million. That is the summary of the budget allocation per program over MGF. I've been dealing largely with the year of ATP in the previous slide. So this is just the analysis of how these budgets are likely going to move on forward. Noting that 2015-16 will only be confirmed when the current year allocations are adjusted. And new allocations are indicated in December. Program 1 grows, program 1 is stable at around 1.2 million per annum over the next 3 years, while program 2 grows from 2.8 to 3.4 million over the NTF, and then program 3 goes from 1.9, almost 2 billion, to 2.4 billion by the end of 2016-17. And the total budget grows from 6.1 billion to 7.1 billion at the end of the current MTF period that ends on the 2016-17 financial year. Broken down.
Before you turn over, in terms of your figures, one to one,
300 million. Because of billions, eh?
Yes.
I just want to use that correction also, 1.2 billion and so on.
Yes.
So the members can understand. Because this year starts with 1.1 million. It's billion.
1.1 billion. Oh, did I hear you? Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. The only figures that are millions will relate to property, construction, and policy regulation, and auxiliary and associated services. The rest are billions. I think somebody last week they included the zeros.
Yeah.
Now this year they removed the zeros. So, because I can see. Thank you, sir. Looking at this, at the summary of the budget in terms of economic classification, you will see, you will notice that current payments, which include compensation of employees and goods and services, amount to 2.962 billion in 2014-15. Remains stable, slight reduction in 2015-16, and then increase to 3.1 in 2016-17, largely to compensate for inflation. The next category is transfers and subsidies, which includes then the figures that I alluded to that relate to the transfers under EPWP. Provinces and municipalities, 1.2 billion in the 2014-15 financial year. Departmental agencies and accounts, which is going to be covered in one of the slides that will follow, 802 million, grows to 843 and 890. In by the end of the MTF. Then payments for capital assets, 595 million for the 2014-15 financial year, growing to 981 by the end of the MTF. The breakdown of that is buildings and other fixtures, 510 million. Grows to 844 in the following year, 885 in the third year of the coming MTF, the MTF. And then machinery and equipment, which is spending within the department itself, 79, largely within the department itself, 79, 84 and 89 million over the next 3 years. Software and other intangible assets, 6.3 and 6.6. Stays fairly stable over the MTF. The public entities that receive money for the department in 2014-15 are Construction Industry Development Board, CIDB, whose main purpose is support the department by providing strategic direction and developing effective partnerships for growth, reform, and improvement of the construction sector. We allocated 77 million to that entity. Council for the Built Environment, which implements projects and programs that address the built environment issues to add value to the built environment professions, government and general public, 42 million. They oversee the built environment entities and both. Independent Development Trust. We support the department in contributing to government priorities of job creation, sector skills, development, green building initiatives, and eradication of social infrastructure backlogs. 50 million is allocated to this entity. It is also one of the entities that is being repositioned to play its rightful role in the development of the infrastructure going forward. Agrima South Africa. As I indicated, we allocate 11 million, and its main purpose is to assist to support the department by technically assessing innovative construction technologies and promoting their use to stimulate the creation of sustainable short and long-term work opportunities. There is also what we call augmentation of budget of the property management trading entity. Of 673, which is largely to support and subsidize
the property management shortfalls for the departments, for the buildings that are used by the various departments.
If you look at the infrastructure, main categories in the DPW capital budget, and I will come back to this, because some of the budgets for capital are located in the various client departments. Public Works function in that regard is to be an implementing agent on behalf of those entities, of those departments. We have what is called departmental capital, of which we have allocated 86 million in 2014-15 financial year, the third last category that is colored. The accessibility infrastructure program type, which is aimed at improving the old buildings' accessibility for people living with disabilities in the various departments, largely the old buildings that are state-owned, 11.3 million. Dolomite risk management sub-program under infrastructure, which is largely aimed at dealing with issues around tsunami, dramatic conditions for buildings sink, and we have to make interventions. Largely, I think last year it was the SANDF, one of their buildings was in trouble, and we had to intervene. Land cost of entry, 233 million in 2014-15. Inner city regeneration, 1.7, largely buildings around Victoria. Prestige, 56 million. These amounts grow over the MTF modestly. Then under the property management tri-dimensional infrastructure budget for planned maintenance, we have 2,088 projects that are currently running, amounting to 1.6 billion in 2014-15, remain around 1.6 and go to 2 billion in the third year. That is under maintenance and repair. Rehabilitation, renovation, and refurbishment, capital expenditure, 1.098 billion, growing to 1.4 and 1.5 over the MTF period. Thank you, Jess. That is the end of my presentation.
Thank you very much, DJ, for the very interesting name in my language, which about. It's a long presentation. Thank you very much once again. I can see that you are not feeling very well. Seeing you've got some flu. But nevertheless, I will give over to also to the deputy minister, maybe to say one or two things if he does really have something to say.
If the Sir has something to say, let me not say it at this point. Let us interact with the committee members. Thank you. I think we've already said a mouthful from the side, so I think it would be good to have interaction.
I know Kumbu Jeremy, you always want to have something to say, but I respect what you said. I will not push far. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a presentation. It was prefaced by the input by the minister. I would wish that I can have that input. It's very good. It's political. And it gives us an overview of the department and whatever we do. That's a kind of a compass for us. Thank you very much, Minister. I think you've done quite a good job in terms of what has gone into what you've written, because it allies the department to come up with that profound document. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the presentation. And it's now for us to interact with it.
has asked any questions from the presentation up to the last one. You know, my only concern, my first concern has to whet your appetite. This department seems to me it has been running with white papers for quite some time. White papers. It's a serious concern. And it does not seem to me we do have a grasp of time frames of translating those white papers into X. It can't continue. I must confess, it can't continue. Since 1997, from your page 3, the very first page, since 1997, and we are in the 21st century, starting from the 19th century. So it can be on. Surely there should be a time frame towards that. In our legacy, we can't continue the white papers of 1997 in 2014, 7 years down the line. It's a serious matter. So I think we need to lift those matters so that the department can respond. Let us not lead from front. I will give over to members. You can shoot from anywhere. Just say from which page are you raising the matter so that the department can respond quickly on that. Any hands? You are the first one, Conrad, one. You are the only one. So, my colleague, number two, number three. Man, we're very blessed in this community. We've got a queen. Huh? So no, I'm going to go that. Thank you very much. You can shoot, Chief. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Comrade Chair. I'm worried when you ask us to shoot. Because some of us need to shoot and run. thank you very much to the Honourable Minister Mwesi for the strategic vision. I would have questions on that one, but to the DJ and his team, I also say thank you. But precede my question with a opportunity that we don't always get. You say, I'm living in a government house now. And we want to say, Minister, thank you very much. And I don't even know the area that I stay in. In Zikwifle, in Pelican Park. And we appreciate these services being made available to us. But it will by our favor. So we will still do our work. My first question would be that I just come from a meeting in our province of Gauteng where there was a very interesting comment that was made about the stipends that are being made available to your beneficiaries in the EPWP, but also in the CDW, where some branches of the ANC are complaining that people are paid more than the PCO administrators. And I think it's important to mention it, because we very often hear about these jobs and it not making a difference. And it makes a difference. I, however, note with concern the amount that is being budgeted in this term for that particular purpose. But assume that there are external economic factors that influences that. We are very dependent upon the creation of, as it is properly called, job opportunities through that process. It is important that the department should take note that they need to make it work. Then there is the problem about, the minister raised, I think, about the problem in the construction industry. Transformation. We can't continue, and I think as this parliament, we are dedicated to make sure that we are not going to come back after 25 years and still make mention of battling with transformation. It's important that we should just make it work. It's not only in this particular department, but in many others we have the difficulties. And we owe it to our people at this time to make sure that we make that work. We want to assure you, Honorable Minister, that from the government of Gauteng, we are looking at reindustrialization and modernization. And the Department of Public Works are obviously going to be one of the major partners that we have, need to have as a provincial government. And just drawing from my memory and the speech that was made by our Premier on the State of the Province address, it is a priority for our province. And we would want to make sure that we work with you to make that happen. When we look at the amounts of monies that are made available in the budget, we want to say that we are worried about that. In the on page 8, you are showing that the funds are declining from this year, if we look at the medium term, from 207 billion to 72, if I read it properly. But you are also saying to us on the next page, under the organizational alignment on page 9, that you have a staff shortfall of about 1.258. That's lots of people. Now I'm worried, if the budget is declining, we are going to have difficulty meeting our expectations as department with the shortage that we have in staff. It's performance, the performance environment. That's where you have the time frames. Oh, slide 15. Sorry. Slide 15 and slide 17. Thanks, Deputy Minister. It's slide 15 and slide 17. In slide 17, you show in the second bullet, of course, your employment having to grow from where it is at 5.5 to 6.8. But the salaries at the bottom of the slide on page 16 shows a major cut in the budget. And we all agree that we wouldn't want to have in proportion amounts of money being allocated to employment cost. Just my final point through you, Chair, is then on slide 15. It would help us on slide 15 if it was possible to provide us with time frames, because that would enable us to do a much more effective oversight. Thank you, Chair.
My
colleague? Person, may I please ask the DG a couple of questions, but first let me say thank you for the presentation. As a newcomer to the portfolio, this is certainly a mind-boggling one, and we are we hear so much and we understand so little, so maybe we must go through this slowly so that we can understand. Our colleague here from Gauteng refers to the fact that he lives in Pelican Park. Well, may I ask the Honourable Member if he lives in a prefab house? Maybe not. I say that I live in a prefab and I call it my prefabulous in Acacia Park to get my mind around it nicely. So I'm fully aware of what's happening and that the department is responsible for the pre-fabulous moments that we have in Acacia Park. However, the department knew we were coming. The department knew the first parliament was coming to an end and the first parliament was going to start. However, everybody at the end of the fourth parliament got packing orders. Whether you knew you were coming back or whether you didn't know, you knew that you had to pack by the end of March. We also know that the rules of Parliament say that you have 30 days to vacate, and some had to be removed, like one of our colleagues from the 4th Parliament, by court order. But the houses were not updated and renovated as they should have. In fact, I have to, if you follow my eyes, my colleague has no house yet. And my house was not renovated inside or outside. The furniture came as a double bed and a fridge. And that's what we got so far. We haven't got couches or curtains or anything of that yet. But I'm not complaining. We're still using the furniture from the Fourth Parliament. It is just very strange that there is this immense backlog. Then, if I can carry on, the schools in the East, in the Eastern Cape that you're referring to, the 39 schools, and then you say you are beautifying 915 schools. I really would like to have more detail on that, if at all possible, because in particular in my constituency, which is Kokanga, there are, for instance, 41 classrooms that were not delivered, and the process is very slow. It is an issue. I know it's very difficult, but in the process where the Department of Public Works has to take the responsibility, Kuka Development Agency is also appointed, and we don't know who to hold responsible for what is not happening, especially when we think in terms of Silvester School. So I'm mentioning the school specifically so that it's easier to understand. Then when we carry on...
When you are Kuka, you're talking about the traffic.
Yes.
Yes.
Sylvester
is the school.
Sylvester Primary
School.
Yeah. In the press we've heard many stories about the Dolomite program money that went elsewhere. So we see here the register, and there are about over 500 project designs and conducted 6,180 biological tests. Where are we going with this program, and is there sufficient money to do what is right for this program? Everywhere we work through these various programs, at the end, and let me tell you, I am in the strategic plan 14 to 2019. It shows that there's a shortage of staff, and I have to add on to a colleague from Housing. When you look at the last column of the every schedule when it comes to staff, there is some staff that's been appointed in addition to the program. And if you read carefully through the notes, it says that the staff in, I'll tell you it specifically, I'm referring to page 35, 7.23. It says there are 1,285 vacancies, which equals 80.5%. Then it says 424 additional appointments included, which are contract employees. Now that means that vacancy rate, if I read it correctly, is actually then 25%, which is huge. And are we doing the right thing or aren't we? The asset management program is 46.7% of the budget in 2014-15, which amounts to 2.86 billion. Why is there a nominal decrease of 4.1 or a real decrease of 9.6 from the previous financial year? And then just some quick, very great concern that I have. Municipal property rates were previously handled by the department at a national level, and it's now going to be the responsibility of provinces. But there's no firm set plan of how this is going to be monitored if the monies were not being fenced. How are we going to monitor the system? And Cheverson, with the time running, I think I must first stop there. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. Let me join my colleagues by really appreciating the presentation from our DJ, and also to say before I ask my question, maybe my comrade here was supposed to indicate as to where the honorable member is staying now, because what I know from the committee is that they have made a temporary arrangement for the honorable members, as the department will be busy cleaning their houses. I've been covered by my colleagues. Before that, let me also my minister. Yeah, my minister, because what you said before the presentation is what we really want and what the South Africans out there is looking for. We need a commitment, and it's what you said, and you choose as that. I've been covered by my colleagues, but from slide number 17, on the issue of basic education, I just want to check, because where I come from, the rural areas, we have problems of toilets. I don't know if ever the department can then put this forward to start with the toilets before they can go into the other infrastructures. And the other thing, yes, my honorable member, you remember the story of the child who died in Limpopo. The other thing, I don't know, because we also have open centers where the orphans and the vulnerable go there every day after school. I don't know how is the government going to help with the infrastructure, because really it's also a problem. Slide number 12. I'm a little bit worried, because many people in the rural areas, they live far from the economic activity. And then now the department here is talking about Swande. I was going to be very happy if we were given an example of Polokwane, maybe. it's how they see, and this will then encourage our people to migrate from our areas to Gauteng province. Maybe if I can get clarity on this one. Another slide. Slide number 17. Where the department is experiencing a challenge in producing the wide range of skills required in the construction and engineering field. My worry is that the department here is silent with the solution. I don't know as to how are they then going to make sure that this challenge is being resolved. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, members. I'll take it as the first round, the first three questions. But I know the question of houses, I'm sure they're referring to Honourable Member Lond. Lond, Choco. Lond have a house, Choco? Okay. It's so long as in two months, bilateral, I'll allow that. Thank you. Thank you very much. You're not pushing for that. Thank you. No, he has already been accommodated. Can we take the first round, the first three speakers' questions? Any members from the department?
Yes, colleagues will call it. First of all, the very first point that you made around we're sitting with white papers from 1997, I think 1999, but no legislation. That was exactly the point that the minister was making at the outset. And I think it reflects numbers of things. I think a lot of confusion around the role of the public sector in general and the role, therefore, of the Department of Public Works specifically. And I think that we've been a victim of that. It's also been a result when we've looked at the huge changes in senior leadership. What is the number of DGs that we've had in the last 6 years? DGs or acting DGs, it's of the order of 8, I think. 7 in the last 5-6 years. So I think that there's been a lot of, and I think that finally in the last couple of years under the leadership of Minister Casey, and I'm not just saying that because he's Prime Minister, but we have seen the beginnings of turnaround and stabilization, and that's partly because of his leadership, but it also has to do with beginning to stabilize the senior leadership in the department and the appointment of a full-time and acting DG. But the specific question you were asking, and it was a correct question, is we can't go on like this. We're not happy with the existing white papers. They need serious review themselves because they reflect, we think, old thinking, which we need to. So we set ourselves, but it's a complicated ask. And so we've said, by the end of this 5 years of this administration, there must be legislation in place. So there's a comprehensive policy process underway, policy review and so forth. Obviously, we're not waiting in terms of the transformation of the department, in terms of, for instance, setting up the property management trade entity, which is a critical move to professionalize our capacity. We're not waiting for legislation, but we're certainly moving in that direction. So we're anticipating a new white paper and then legislation based on that white paper in the course of the life of this select committee and this administration. And I think that will be important work that we would need to share with you, not least because, as the Minister explained, part of the problem is the concurrent issue and the world provinces, and therefore the NCOK and the select committee becomes quite an important sounding board also for the policy development processes as we go forward. Then, if I can then also just move on quickly to the Honourable Eddie McGill's questions. Pelican Park, I'll leave, but at least one of the members is happy with his accommodation. But to address the matters related to the Expanded Public Works Program and Community Work Program and the Silent, I wasn't quite sure what your concern was in terms of the amount paid. If the agency is paying its, I'm not sure that my, is paying its PCOs less than public works stipend. I'm not sure that's a matter that to be taken up with the ANC. But the stipend, and I prefer not to call them stipend, but actually these are, people are working, and we should call them wages. It's not as though we're just handing out something. It's a sort of social security. It's a, of course, we have a very incomplete social security system. If you're not a mother, if you're not over 60, 65, if you're under 8, if you're not under 18, but you're unemployed, you're not covered if you're not disabled. So there's a huge gap in our social security. We see the Expanded Public Work Program, one of its key objectives is to create a more expansive social security net, and the National Development Plan, Chapter 11, talks about that. So the actual amount paid, stipend stroke page, to the participants is governed by a minimum wage declaration, and it's currently 71 Rand 50, I think, per day. Of work in the project. It does vary, so that's a minimum, and different projects will and different programs will sometimes a lot more. And that's always the challenge that we're playing with as well, because on the one hand, what we want to get that budget to reach the maximum number of participants, precisely because of this big massive unemployment we've got and the big hole that we've got in our social security, notwithstanding the fact that 15 million people are covered by social security. There's still millions and millions of more who are unemployed but not covered. So we want to spread it to the maximum, but at the same time, you can't have people working in fairly skilled jobs in some cases, and some of these things, particularly in the social sector where people are providing home-based care, they're doing early childhood learning supervision and so forth, we don't necessarily want to cap them for years and years and years at 71 and 50, and so on. We encourage them to stay on and to contribute. So it does vary. Just to say that the community development workers are not part of the Expanded Public Works Program. They fall under the Department of Public Service. But it's a good question, because why shouldn't we be part of what the Minister was talking about, this new Presidential Coordinating Commission for Public Employment Programs, EPWP, and the Community Work Program? How do we bring, what are the community development workers doing? And how, we're not good as government at coordinating and maximizing the developmental impact of what we're doing. So certainly as the department, and what the Minister didn't say is that part of the then the cabinet decision, which said that in principle we need to set up a presidential public employment coordinating commission. It's the Department of Public Works is the key lead sectorial technical support department. So we have a lot of other departments and all provinces and all municipalities are involved in the program unevenly, but we have a critical test. And one of the questions we want to ask is, how do we use the community development workers? There's some 10,000 of them still around. How do we use them also and integrate them into the program? That's the very last point I want to make, because it relates to the expanded public works program and to the Limpopo Polokwane self-interested question. obviously, this is a PowerPoint presentation, so when we talk about the important goal of national building, social cohesion, nation building, and so on, we mentioned one thing that we're doing, which is the integrated inner city development in Tshwane. And the reason for Tshwane is that obviously we're a huge property owner, custodian of massive properties in Tshwane, in Pretoria. We're not managing those effectively, and that's a big priority that we've got, so that we turn Tshwane into a real capital city. It doesn't look like a capital city. So then we have a proper governed precinct, and so on. So that's a particular priority, but we are looking at Polokwane, and some of the other provincial capitals, and working with provinces also, so that we develop this precinct approach to, so because people when they go to Home Affairs, they're told to get documents from the police or from somewhere else, and it's some other distant part of a city and so on. So we need in terms of efficiency but also affordability for ordinary citizens. Accessibility is not just that the buildings are accessible to people with disabilities, but generally to all South Africans, there's greater accessibility, that our cities work better, and as a big custodian of property we need to do. But then the rural question is also very important, and I think that, again, the expanded public work, the community work programs, so we didn't mention it under that heading of the goal of building social cohesion, but the community work and expanded public works programs, they're uneven. We know that it's real life and things are often not perfect. But when they work well, they really are capable of starting to build community cohesion and poor communities. So it's not just that the government delivers a clinic out of the blue, you know, to communities, which, or a library or whatever, and then people burn it and they're angry. We want to, through the community work and expanded public works program, build a sense of community ownership in the building, in the planning, the construction, and the maintenance of public facilities in communities. So don't burn it, look after it, you know, it's yours. But they don't see it as theirs often because we come in top down and deliver something which maybe wasn't a priority in the community in the first place. And so there's not a sense of ownership and participation. So we could have added, when we talk about nation building and community coordination, that we think that the expanded public works program has a huge role to play in that respect. I warned you, Chairperson, that I've always got a lot to say. And
thank you, Deputy. Any further clarification or responses?
I'm going to ask the CFO to respond to the questions, the budgetary questions.
Thank you, Chair. There was a question that I was asked by Honourable Member regarding slide 15, 16 and 17, which I think I just need to clarify. Slide 16, there was a concern raised that the compensation for employees' budget is decreasing, indicated on slide 16. However, slide 16 talks to the turnaround budget of the department, which indicates the amounts of money we have allocated to turnaround interventions and not just compensation. And those are the turnaround interventions that are listed on there to stabilize the environment in the department. And over the MTF period, because of the efficiencies that we are achieving over time, the allocations or the amounts of money that is spent on those interventions are actually decreasing. When you look at the compensation of employees, it's on slide 21. On slide 21, when you look at the compensation of employees, which is the second item, first item under current payments,
you will see that the actual composition of employees over the MTA period is growing from 1.6 billion in 2014-13 to 1.7 billion in 2016 and 1.9 billion in 2016-17. And I think it's also important that we need to clarify or just rectify one major error that occurred, which we picked up as Didi was making a presentation on slide 17, just to put things in perspective, that the last bullet on slide 17 indicates that additional funding requirement of 3 billion will be required to implement the new structure. That's not correct. It's not additional funding of 3 billion. It's total funding of 3 billion will be required over the MTF period, not additional. The current baseline is our indicator that we have on slide 21. As you have, that's the baseline. We need 3 billion to be able to roll out the infrastructure over the MTF period. So it's not the additional funding of 3 billion. Just to clarify that. I think there was an omission on that side. And then I think there was also a question with respect to the, I think it was on the reduction of the allocations for the asset investment management program, which is on slide 20. The question that if you look at year on year 13-14 and 14-15, that the allocation has decreased from, let's say, for rounding off purposes, 13-14, 3 billion to 2.9 billion. Why is that the reduction? Because this is the core of our business. The reduction is happened because we actually introduced the turnaround program over those 2 years, wherein we then reprioritized to fund our turnaround interventions. We did not get new money from Treasury. We actually used our reprioritized from our baseline. So we moved funds from that program to other programs so that we can then fund the turnaround projects that we are putting in place. And that's that slight reduction that you can see on there. And that talks to the allocations on slide 20 that I indicated of turnaround projects or slide 20, not 16, that I spoke about. Some of those monies were moved from the program as an investment management to cover the costs for those interventions that we have there. I think that those are the clarities that I thought we should just provide for on the budget.
Sorry. Any other responses? Because there are still one or two responses that are needed.
I think we should request.
Over to you, DDG.
Thank you, Chair. The honourable member was looking at our strategic plan document on page 85, paragraph 7.2.3. With regards to our total cost establishment, the vacancy rate, and related matters. The norm by the Department of Public Service Administration for an acceptable vacancy rate is 10%. We are at 18%. And that number you see of those appointed additional to the establishment, they are actually within the total post establishment, not outside. If you can just read that second line, the department has a total post establishment of that number 6818. And therefore, it then goes further to say the total establishment includes 424. So it's all inclusive. So it is 18%, not more than that. But in relation to this additional appointment, additional to establishment, you may find that in the case, for instance, of finance and the CFO's office, the intervention around finances, the clean audit program, and so on. But he does not have sufficient position with his branch, and therefore he can't appoint. So the position are elsewhere. But you cannot steal from Peter to pay Paul. So what you then do, you allow the CFO to appoint, even though he does not have the vacancies within his establishment, and those appointments then become additional to the establishment for the CFO's office. And we have to record them as such, because if we don't, we won't be able to check for the sufficient budget. So that is why, that is how they arise. It is a very intervention that you have to put into place. But secondly, we've been given 9th of March. If I internalize the 9th of March, is we treat the capital loans. No to consultants. And that 9th of March comes from the minister. It's very categoric. But any sourcing of resources must be appointed within the department are on contact for the specific intervention, and we avoid as much as possible to bring them in as consultants. And although we do have consultants, but I think the goal is to reduce the number of depending on consultants. Thank you.
You for that, no consultants. If for in one department last term, which I will not mention, there was a unit within the department which hired sort of 110 consultants, 110 for one unit in the department. And you could see that the better part of the budget was taken to that unit. And they went out, as the minister said, as the old guard, and they come back as consultants. And they charge you as consultant fees for their work. Sorry for interruption. Still on the floor. You want to respond? No more questions?
The question of rates and taxes. I'm going to ask the TDG regional coordination to respond to that.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. On the question on rates and taxes, we have a steering committee that comprises of National Treasury, working with the Revenue Chief of National Treasury. We also are working closely with OCTA, the Department of Corporate Governance and Transitional Affairs. We're also working with the department and the MNE department in the presidency and public works provincial departments. We have a steering committee where we coordinate all the work, and provinces are expected to just deal with this on their own. So we give them the system to ensure that they're able to carry out the responsibility of verifying and also making sure that payments are effective correctly and timely. Thank you.
In other words, they are observing the act, the PMA, which speaks to that advice. Thank you. Any other?
Just a step back in that. Previously, these rates and taxes were paid through a quotational grant that was transferred from national to each of the provinces. That formed part of the equitable share, but it's earmarked in each province by National Treasury, who also with us through that steering committee monitors that there's performance around that.
I think what you are raising now, that is part of the equitable share that you are talking about. And also, members, you see, there is this big book. What call it? I think on page 119, where the budget is also being displayed. You should consult this. You don't need to come around. Exactly. And I think every member does have it. I did consult that book before come here around the department. That's why I'm not able to say, please refer to page 109 and also other pages that speak to the budget, so that you ask informed questions. I think they responded to all those questions that were raised initially. Yeah? Okay.
I was still there.
On the floor.
Yes. There's a question around Dolomite.
Oh, yes.
I'll ask the TDG responsible for projects to respond to that, and I will augment if there's anything that remains.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe to acknowledge the movement of funding that happened in previous years, it was due to the underspendition on the program. But however, as the DG has indicated, we do have a number of projects, there are 38 in all. Mainly these conditions, diplomatic conditions happen around 20. And as we speak now, we are spending in terms of the project. We're 87% versus 25% time lapse. Thank you.
Now you are spending.
Yes, as you will see, the bulk of the allocation is for next year when the actual construction will be taking place. But you need to get professionals to do proper assessments and all of those things, and that is what we have provided too, because we provide on a cash flow basis for those types of projects.
But I think when it is captured in terms of the report of the AG, you know, these under expenditures, you know, it is only projected as a cycle in terms towards the end of the financial year, and it's when your expenditure, and in the public eye, you are seen as people who are not spending.
they don't understand this process up to a point of delivery in terms of what they're saying, TG. I think then we need to formulate an approach in responding to that to the public, even to the civil society, so we are not seen as people who are spending, and yet there are certain processes in between to spend that amount of money. We take the point that you're raising. Continue. Beautifying and so on.
Yes.
I'll ask the...
Chairperson and honourable members, this is a program that the Department of Public Works is implementing on behalf of the Department of Basic Education. Beautification really is improving the condition of the school, but not the structural condition of the school. We will be doing things like fencing, repairing fencing, or installing new fences, paving in the assembly area, landscaping roofs, you know, the roofs that are leaking, doors that are broken, windows broken, and such things. When we find structural problems, we will refer those to a certain program within the Department of Education. So the school, the honorable member was raising, the Sylvester Primary School, is not likely to be in this program because she's talking about classrooms. This program will not have classrooms. And she's also mentioning that there's a confusion about who to refer issues on specific schools. The Department of Education has now appointed, since they appointed the Department of Public Works, but it has also appointed and has been working with COHA for some time as an implementing agent of certain schools, as well as IDT, and I think there are a couple of other implementing agents. So you will find that a number of people are on the ground because of the size of the program doing certain projects. At this point, we are doing 950 as the Department of Public Works.
There's a whole range of different school transformation, infrastructure transformation. So there's the school beautification, which CDGBP is referred to. Then there's the CD School Build Program, which is the Accelerated School Infrastructure Development Initiative. And that's run by the National Department of Basic Education, working closely actually with the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission. And those 39 odd schools are part of that, so the budget is basic education, national, and it allocates within its the CD School Build Program to different implementing agencies, CUCA in some cases, Department of Public Works in some cases, IDT, the Independent Development Trust in some cases, and sometimes other implementing agencies as well. So the 36 odd ones that will be referred to, that's what's been allocated to us, but there are others. So I'm not sure, we can obviously try and check. It could well be part of a provincial education department, the particular school, special school that you refer to, could be part of that. I mean, I don't think it's part of our CD school. Okay, so we're not aware of it as specifically, but okay.
Any other responses?
Maybe that also relates to the toilets issue, which was raised from the level. I assume it's school toilets. A colleague is maybe that's where colleague gone. Okay. Again, that wouldn't be directly us. If we were CD schools allocated to us as Department of Public Work, and they were in Liverpool, but then obviously we would have to look at this as part of making sure the infrastructure is usable and good, and that toilets would be a priority. But again, I think that she should place her queries to the provincial department in the first instance, and perhaps to basic education, rather than to DPW.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah.
But I think the question also says to us, as the executive, as we're dealing with the infrastructure, the issue of the toilets has to be looked into, because this school is not just those classrooms. You need the full infrastructure. I think that's the message which is coming very clear. So as and when we are interacting in the infrastructure and even with the other departments of education, this must be forgotten.
Any other?
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
I think I've answered unless members can.
Okay.
Let's take the second round, ladies and gentlemen. I will start with Honorable Lund, followed by Honorable the second one, Doc, Honorable, who is the fourth one? Is that all? Okay. In that sequence. Mr. Lund, the floor is open.
Thank you, Chair. First thing, it's regards to the EPWP. On page 82, it says that attention will be paid to the reporting on the EPWP. There's 15 municipalities that's currently not reporting. Why that, and what's the follow-ups on that to make sure that they do report on that? And then, sorry, this is, I presume we can stress then. Page 82,
yeah.
Okay, this is a difference between effective reporting and just answering a question to get it away. And we would really appreciate if we can maybe have a session with the department on EPWP to actually do the oversight on this. Find out what municipalities are effectively using their monies, what provinces are, and what provinces and municipalities are not. I think that's a very important thing that we need to do. And then there's something that the minister started off with. It says that some of the functions is responsibility of provinces, but at the end of the day, Department of Public Works is the oversight function of provinces as well. And if a province do not perform in public works, then it will also come back to the national department. So you must hold them accountable as well. I mean, it's your money that goes down to the provinces as well. So it's not just a passing the buck exercise. And then just on answering questions effectively, and I'm going to raise it here as well. The upgrade, and I promise myself I'm not going to raise in Canada to that, I'm not going to do that. But there's upgrades on other ministerial homes as well. Questions that were asked, valid questions that's just not answered. And we would appreciate just honest feedback on what's going on. And if it's your department that approved such expenditure, then own up to it and acknowledge that. But if it's not your department and somebody else that went that route, honest feedback would be more appreciated than trying to dodge questions that get asked to the ministers. That's all for now.
I appreciate that you might not hallucinate for the question that that you're hearing. You will not raise it. We appreciate that. That's why I say he's not going to raise it. Thank you. That was number two. Let's go to number three. Doc? That was number one. You know, man. Who is number two? Who are number two? And number three is Doc. Number four is my home. I don't remember. Okay.
Now, Chair, through your permission, I will leave one issue to my neighboring province, honorable member. But just one issue, and I know that you will not punish me for calling the minister GS. Just one issue that. We are trying to find synergy when we go to different provinces and when we interact with the other select committees that are having almost similar responsibility there. You find that in other provinces the responsibility of the land transport and lies with the public works in terms of the actual transporting of kit and the responsibility to carry costs thereof. But the responsibility of kids attending school on time and being ready to be taught safe school lies with the Department of Education. And we are trying so hard to find each other as to what, but also there is a third element that we realized in the last meeting. That there's also section 132 of the Constitution which allows the Premier to also design or decide as to what are the functions and mandate of the people that here. But we are trying to find each other so that in the main we don't leave kids along the road without, when it's time for exams, service providers take it as an opportunity to also say, we have not been paid for the last 3 months and therefore we're not going to take it. So we're just saying, if we, as we move forward, what might be the practical solution? It might not have answers for that now. But as we move forward, what might be the practical solution into this matter? So that there's synergy between all these responsible departments. And we make sure that, I think that you've been very eloquent in terms of what is the responsibility and the mandate of the department, but also strong emphasis on the NTP. And in appreciation of that, what might be the practical solution to take this thing out of our own way? Thank you.
All right. That's an education educational background. You spoke of a GS, not sure from which era, but nevertheless, talk for you.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, okay. All right.
Thank you, sir. And thank you also for the direction earlier. But before continuing, I want to say there's a very thick book you guys showed us there. I'm just a bit worried. You know, when you get to page 10, you forgot what's on page 1. Eh? Okay. Seriously, thank you for the direction. I was also concerned about the amount of white paper in front of us and the time frames. There was mentioning about Public Works Act. Give us an idea of what this will entail and how soon can we expect this to be on the table. I think, Honourable Minister, you spoke about that. Then also the capacity within the department that was mentioned. What is how do we hope to arrive at the skills levels that we require? What skills development programs are they going to put into place? Which institutes are going to be using? Give me an idea there. Also, on slide 11, mention was made about 36 new schools, I think the Department of Basic Education. Do we have any idea where these schools are going to be built, and specifically are there going to be any in Mpumalanga? I'm being a bit selfish now, but you'll understand. Okay, also on slide 11 you spoke about land that will be made available. If we could also have an idea where this land is. I haven't heard anything about the new universities, again this one in Pumalanga. I don't know whether Department of Public Works is involved in it, or is it only the Department of Higher Education. Give me an idea there, please. Minister, you mentioned also in passing about unionism and the importance. I would not agree more. I think at this point in our development of our democracy, unionism is very, very essential. Every one fair employer I can find, I will find 100 others who will be unfair. So, yes, I couldn't agree more with that. Then there was mention about Department of Public Works National and Department of Public Works Provincial, as if these are two separate. Is there no relationship? Is there no, give me some idea. I'm one of the new kids on the block. You can see with my right beard and one of the, so we don't quite know, please help us there. Finally, about the housing, I want to thank you. I'm very grateful to my creator, Creator, but thank you also, Minister. Your department has given me a very nice little home in Pelican Park. Thank you very much for that. I thought that would be an honor. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Doc, for those questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll keep it short because there's 10 minutes left. The asset investment management analysis on page 71 is referred to 25 rural municipalities in the spatial SPFs that are being done. Why 25 and where are they? And then the last one, when you look at this budget vote, is there enough done and said in here to come up with a better audit report? Thank you.
Can she repeat it?
Can you repeat it, please? We were trying to follow the previous question.
Okay, the previous question is in the same book that I worked through, the strategic plan, on page 71. Then, the audit reports of the department. Is everything packed into this budget to promise a better audit report and management of the department?
Yes. Thank you. Switch up your mic then, if you have a mic. Let's take the next one.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was looking at the mission of the department. They're saying they want to provide quality accommodation and related services to our clients. And then this question of EPWP projects that are being run in our areas where the members of the communities were given a certain month to clean up the areas, it's not representing their mission because it ends up frustrating them. As they are saying they are busy working, after 7 months then it's over, and then that frustration comes back. I want to know as to how are they going to make sure that this program is going to be sustainable to our ordinary South Africans. And the last one is about the management present. If you count on them, if you want to count on the females, you might not even find one. So I heard that there are still vacancies that are to be filled. My request was that can the department consider giving those posts to the females? Because we count here, there are many males than females. And probably because they are 10, and we have 9 provinces, 2 might come from Polokwane, all in province. That would be good. Thank you.
I can see here in the staff of the minister is nodding behind him. So now we have touched the real nerve. Oh, Mama, with the female gender issue. You should be sensitive. That's what she's saying. And the staff behind is saying, that's true. Yeah? And the husband, all right. Any other member? I've noted you, Mtumuhle. You did apologize to arrive late. You arrived at the tail end. Yes. Mtumuhle, we have a Zumatar. Thank you. You recognize, sir.
Thank you very much, Chair. I was looking for it on one of the slides, but I can't find it here, so not because it's not there. The question of assets, particularly buildings that are standing vacant in very many cities and townships. When I raised it with some of the honorable colleagues in the provincial legislature, a comment was made that no, that belongs to public works. And if we look at the district post office, and I'm saying, what does that mean? Now, the south of Johannesburg, where I have grown up in all of the Soweto Cape Town area, one still finds that there's lots of government buildings. Sorry that I'm using that generic term. But I'm trying to understand who would be the owner of such property. Is it something that I need to take up in the province, or is it something that we could take up with colleagues of the National Department here in Parliament?
Thank you, Honourable Member. I think that question, you see, the question of assets, state assets, properties, it's a huge complex matter, not only of South Africa, but also abroad. I think you have assets in abroad. But where we can assist most as this select committee is for the departments, because we're coming from provinces, different provinces, to constitute this select committee. That's why we take ourselves as one unit. Now, we will always be biased to our own provinces where we come from. Because you could see on what he has raised in the Eastern Cape, all over, there are state properties which are owned by or managed by public works.
And we don't see, and some of this property is depreciating in terms of its value in the manner in which they are being managed. We would like to get some more information so that we assist the department and report to you. Because when we debate in the chamber, we are more specific on what we see. As a result, out of what is presented, we are going to formulate a position of going out to provinces to do an oversight on what is raised. Then as it occurs, like in the day, we go further. Now, we would like to assist the department because there's a lot of properties in my province, two holdings. Two holdings, huge properties, and they're depreciating. And we don't get any sense that our department is on top of that matter to rescue the situation. So that you dispose of these buildings that you are not able to manage, because they're huge. So I'm saying, I'm just commenting on what is happening. The members here. Because also I think the department might have a capacity problem in various projects, not necessarily the property, in various projects in terms of your capacity to monitor and make a follow-up and report properly and accurately on some of the projects. Look, you've got projects that are about 1,200 in one of these presentations, and I was saying to myself, I wonder what is the capacity of the department in monitoring those projects. They might be big, well, and yes, you might rely on your municipalities or provinces, but what is the capacity of those provinces also, either? So I'm saying that we do have that kind of a challenge which we need to look into it. Minister, I'm also happy on your review on the inspection. Inspection plan on the lease agreements. You need to do that. Surely there are some agreements that are out of way. That means your intention, your intervention. So when you raised this matter, I said, well, that's all good. You are in the right track, in the right direction to leave you that. We're looking forward to the outcome of that. We're also impressed on the issue of, look, when you started from disclaimer to qualified, in terms of the AG. But that's not enough, you know, because there is an improvement. We need to move towards the unqualified spots that we are getting when we talk financial issues. We are impressed on your step in trying to stabilize and harmonize the department. Well, I'm not going to repeat the issue of skills, which has been raised, strategy to come to the party around that. The last point is the organizational capability of the CIBD. You refer to the CIBD yes, to support, in fact, the PICC, because they need to work in congruence in terms of the technical skill of it and the industry natural coordination of that. We would like to have some more information on this matter, because when you talk about that, that's a part of the construction at a particular level, so that when we monitor in our provinces the development and the unfolding of the economic activities through this project, we are head on as these members of parliament. Otherwise, we are also very happy when you mention some of these matters that were bothering us. But surely, rest assured, Deputy Minister, we go to provinces and the municipalities. I think that's where the problem is in some of these projects. To do some oversight and give authentic reports to this committee. Any responses to these matters that we have raised? Is there any other members before, because there's no third round. There is no third round. The more whip Ziyekilebo, Ubus, Umatuna, tell you when they respond. You must not say there's another point. Thank you. Thank you very much. Minister and the team, responses.
No, just one or two issues, Chairman. I think Honorable Lont, am I right? Honorable Lont, they are right. We need dedicated separate sessions, one to EPWP and also to our program on the immovable asset, the whole question of the register. Maybe we'll be brought here, we'll talk about our property strategy. We might need a special session to discussion which is at the cabinet level as we speak in relation to this particular question. I think we welcome such a discussion so that we understand what are the future plans and be able to interrogate all the issues, because now we are brought talking about everything else. So I think we will welcome that. For instance, on property, you are right. It's not just poor management. State property was neglected. Totally neglected. In fact, these dilapidated buildings, they are all over the country. When you go to each and every dorp in South Africa, once you notice some open land, filthy, or you notice some building, you must know that that belongs to government. Leading to these problems of a lot of crime, leading to hijacking of these buildings and so on. And then when you have to move those people out, constitutionally it's difficult because you allow them to. But sometimes it's also neglected by the various departments. So if you go to the East Rand, an army base there in near Dudula, which has become a den of criminals occupied by some foreign nationals. And sometimes the public works is not even aware that that thing has been deserted by another department. And it's only when there are problems raised by the President Howe, has the defense neglected that thing, or has this department done that? So, but our strategy is responding precisely to those issues. In the homeland, as you are saying, people are occupying very nice property, state property. They have turned some of the houses into PNG. Some have been staying in those houses without paying any rent. So these are the issues we precisely are trying to respond to. So this is a mammoth task which we're dealing with. The other issue raised by Honorable Lund relates to us answering the questions owning our resort. No, even on Mandla, we are ready to deal with the questions. There's nothing which we're hiding. What we know, what we have done, we're ready to deal with those issues. And if there are renovations, we are going to be able to talk about that. In fact, we've been talking about this issue of the renovations. In Pretoria, for instance, the renovations which were done inflated prices by service providers. We're dealing with the people there because we commissioned the SIU, we came with the result, starting to put people under a disciplinary process, and we're very heavy on that, because it's part of the corruption. In Cape Town, we are waiting for the outcome, because even here, we've said the SIU must come and deal with the investigations. I think in Cape Town, they were even worse, the prices and so on. But you get all sorts of explanations, which are very flimsy. The investigations are continuing even here. But whenever questions are being asked, we will not hide anything. The problem is when people start wanting the detailed addresses of where the minister is staying and so on. That bothers the security. We're not going to release that information because that becomes a security question. You come and then say, Minister is staying on district number so and so and so on. Another question is like, but certainly we'll have problems in keeping that particular information. But in terms of the amounts which are being spent and which house was that, would be able to do that. But you will understand that there are issues of security. We have to be sensitive to those issues of security. We can't just stifle any other information. But if it's information related to the expenditure, we will have to give that information. So I thought that we need to talk about this. The other one which I want the DM to talk about, this question of overseeing other public works. It's a constitutional debate, constitutional interpretation. We sit with a constitution which talks about spheres of government, not levels who are accounting to a national government. It's spheres of who are interdependent. You can't tell another sphere of government what to do. All you have to do is just cooperate with that sphere of government because it has its own executive authority. It has its own head of a department. So you are also another executive authority and another department. and maybe it's yourselves who can interpret that question better than even us, because we are the implementing arm as parliament. But maybe it goes back. The deputy minister was there when they were dealing with these issues, might even articulate it. But in some instances, there are disputes who go to court about whether national can tell a province or even a municipality. So it's not just an easy thing, because we are seated with a particular constitutional arrangement. However, through our MINMEC, like we are going to be having a MINMEC this evening with the new MECs, we put all these issues where we have to cooperate. And on some of the issues we're cooperating very well. On some of the issues it's very difficult, but they remain departments on their own. But also it goes back to the configuration. The configuration at the center is not necessarily the same as the configuration at the provincial level of the various departments. And then it puts challenges. I mean, like I was saying, in fact, when I was asking exactly the question, who is responsible for roads? Many people think that national public works is public works, including the roads. Because in many provinces, public works also has the roads function. Which becomes a big call. But he was there when he started that constitution. He can interpret it better.
I was actually innocent. I wasn't in the rest of Parliament. I was saying other role that you were referring to. No, thanks. Maybe just before I get to that specific issue, also to answer some more around the Honourable but homeless Lont. His question first of all, I didn't pick up what you picked up on page 82 of the Strand Plan in terms of not all municipalities are reporting in terms of the incentive grant, which I'm sure it's there, but it's an oversight on our part, because the current information, and then it was referred, the current information is that they are all reporting, okay? So every single municipality in South Africa is reporting, and that's the condition on which we then transfer the incentive grant for the expanded public works. They need to report in order to get there. However, you're absolutely right when you said there's reporting and reporting. There's compliance and tick box reporting, simply for the sake of complying, and then getting the next transfer through, and there's effects, and that's where, as you said, Chairperson, we really need the ears and eyes and assistance of colleagues who are present in municipalities, in constituencies, and so forth. Because we seriously want, what we're saying is, you know, the pressure has been in terms of hitting the targets in terms of work opportunities. And actually we've done very well as a country. So in the first phase of the Expanded Public Works Program, which was 2004 to 2009, the target was 1 million work opportunities, and we hit that target a year ahead of time. So it was on that basis that we set a refreshed target for 2009 to March this year, 2014, and we've got over 4 million work opportunities. So on that basis that we're confident that we will hit the 6 million work opportunities. But we're saying headcounts are very important to put pressure on ourselves to maximize the number of participants and therefore beneficiaries of the stipend. But we need to know much, much, much more about what's happening. What happens to the beneficiaries after the project is completed? What have they dug a hole and filled it, or have they just been sitting under trees? Or had it created and provided real services and assets to community? Everyone in the community has been necessarily a participant, but can we say that there's been a serious developmental impact as a result of a series of things? Now, we've got some very interesting statistics showing some significant deliveries of assets and so on. The environmental working for water, the CSIR couplets that have said something like 400 billion rands worth of water resources, not recorded in GDP, for instance, okay, say something like 73% of grazing area as a result of working for water and the removal of invasives. So there's serious qualitative impact, but our measurement of that and monitoring and evaluation is very uneven. And so we're conceding that. So it's not just the municipalities that are maybe just complying at, you know, ticking a box.
We also need to improve our game and role in terms of the monitoring and evaluation. That does depend on reporting, but also on the ground evaluation. And so please bring to us good examples, not the good examples, and hugely problematic ones. I mean, we want to know that. You said also that, and that's related to the point you're making, Minister, that but it's your money and it's the same function for provinces. Sometimes it is our money. So, for instance, specifically with the Expanded Public Works Program, we are transferring to non-profit organizations, faith-based organizations and others who are often implementing agents for these programs, to municipalities, to all municipalities and to all provinces. Some of the money that they're using for the Expanded Public Works Program comes as a transfer. On that, we do need to monitor and evaluate, and the Auditor General holds us responsible for a degree of evaluation that we get for that. I'm glad the Minister said, you didn't say which questions, valid questions we've not answered, but there are valid questions around ministerial houses and some that we've not answered, then we are surprised, but because we, in terms of accounting for what's spent, sometimes we're embarrassed, but embarrassment should not prevent us from being actively forthright with the public. This is public money, and we need to account for it. So I thought the Minister responded well to that, and just to like to refer. Just in terms of this concurrence, it relates to also then the learner transport. I used to be the head of student transport, and this is a big issue, a big problem, particularly in rural areas. Well, everywhere, in fact, transport and public transport is a big challenge in our country. But in rural areas, scholar transport is a huge challenge in many of the problems you're hearing. Now, that's because the reason why I raised it here in a hearing with the National Department of Public Works is that many, but not all, provinces have a Department of Public Works and Roads and Transport, or Public Works and Transport. In some cases, roads falls under safety and security. So there are different forms in different provinces. But in short, we are not responsible for transport and for scholar transport. But who is, whether it's basic education, provincial education, provincial transport departments, which might also be public works and so on, is a vexed area. And and of course, the part of the problem at provincial level, Minister, is that there's no way that they can have, how many national departments do we have? They can't have 36 or 30, whatever it is now that we've got NECs. It would exhaust the size of the legislature. You'd even have to have EFF ministers. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but so you can see why this combination. Yeah, okay. I won't send anything about a DA, so I'll reserve just. But it was kidding. Then the very last point, which came from the colleague from Limpopo, around the frustration of expanded public work programs that last 7 months, and then what happens to people. First of all, to say that in the early days of the expanded public works program, there was a time limit on the length of jobs, and that was something we've negotiated with the trade unions. So it couldn't last for more than 2 years, basically, a program, and participation couldn't be for more than 2 years. And you can understand the trade union, but the danger is that we would use people paid less than a municipal wage doing work that should really be municipal work, like cleaning up a municipality. But municipalities don't have the budget and resources to do that, so no one's doing it, yet there are millions of people unemployed. So that's why we've moved into that space, which ideally should be, is in fact a municipal function. So you can understand why some will, for instance, would be problem, they would say. But what we've got agreement with the union now, so there's no time limit in law, in statutes, or in regulation around the length of an expanded public works, any of these public employment programs. Some of them, a lot depends on budget, on the particular project, and so forth, and how it's run. But in many cases, increasingly in the social sector, home-based care, early childhood learning, and so on, where people are there permanently, as long as they want to be on the program. And again, ideally those should be employed by social development or whatever, or basic education or whatever, but there simply isn't the budget, and yet there are millions of women who are often doing these things for nothing. And so what we've moved in with
with these stipends to at least help them or NGOs deploy a few more people and so on. So that's the approach that we're taking. But we do want, again, this is part of the monitoring and evaluation that we want to improve. In the early days, the idea was you get 100 days or 70 days or whatever of a work opportunity, and then you knock on the door of the formal set of the private sector and you get a job. The idea was that it was, you know, the reason why people were unemployed is they didn't have work experience. They went to the private sector, knocked on the door, what's your work experience? And they said, we haven't got any. But we give them 100 days of work experience to an expanded public works program, and the theory is they knock on the door and they get a job. The majority don't, because frankly the private sector isn't creating the jobs either at all. But some people do get jobs, and particularly when we build in training and we plan the project properly and so forth, then some people do have the opportunity of graduating. But we need to be having a better handle on all of that. And we understand the frustrations, but people also, the levels of poverty and unemployment are so acute in many parts of our country that even for 70 days of the same people fight over it literally to just get, you know, a stipend for 70 days is better than not having anything. So those are the developmental policy challenges we're facing as a country. But anyway, thanks a lot. Thank you for the questions. I think that and I hope that we've conveyed to you the our sense of reliance on you. We need your critical engagement. We're not shying away from it. We know that we need it in order to improve our work. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further responses? We've got less than 5 minutes.
I'll share that with my colleagues. I think the Deputy Minister and the Minister have covered quite a lot of the questions. I'll go to the specific ones and then we'll deal with them. With regard to human settlements, land release, we are dependent on the requests that are submitted through the Human Settlement Department, which is informed by shortage of land at the local government level. I think we've got a few applications that we're considering in various places across the country. Western Cape, in Western Cape, I think in Port Elizabeth and various other places. We have a structure that we consider the land that we own, evaluate, assess the requirement against the set of principles that we consider the land under, and then we submit it for approval where we are releasing the piece of land and there's no other use that is meant to for that land. So that is the process with regard to the release for human settlements. The question on clean audits, Snuffle?
I'll try to make an attempt at providing some.
We are working towards improved audit outcomes for a vote, an unqualified audit, if there are matters that remain, because we are dealing with quite a significant amount of backlog in terms of dysfunctionality of governance over time. Secondly, I think on the BMT itself, we're anticipating that we might have a qualified audit because we've had to, the nature of the problem of the BMT is that we've had to go back, how many years?
5 years.
Reconstruct effectively the financials and dig into what used to happen in order to correct all the years of accumulation of misstatements, because that was the basis of the disclaimers. I think in the first year of concluding that, at best, you are still expected to have some level of dissatisfaction, areas that may not be complete. But going forward, we want to improve on that as well. Thank you. There's a question on, I think we, the question of transformation and gender in the department has always been raised. As you can see, we are now having a new structure. Obviously, we have to fill those posts with people competent in the various skills areas. We will always give priority to
those that are under provided for in the structure, particularly women, we still have to deal with the issue of people living with disabilities as well. That is receiving the necessary attention within those constraints. Sheriff. Peter, can you answer the issue of the universities?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. In collaboration with the Department of Higher Education, the task being set about looking for appropriate land parcels for the two anticipated universities in Mpumalanga and Northern Cape, specifically Nelspruit and Kimberley. As a result of the investigations that were done, land parcels were identified and suitably so released. The land parcels do not belong entirely to the National Department of Public Works, but in fact, owing to the size that's required, it's an amalgam of national, provincial and local authority land. And as far as I recall, in Mpumalanga, additional portions had to be bought from the private sector. But that has been done and the land was suitably released last year. Thank you.
All right. Then outside water? Almost done.
Reminder to share, I think. That's all.
There's a question, the minister's reminding me, there was a question from Honourable Doc around the process around a public works bill and act. Okay. when we talk about the white papers, I wasn't sure whether the problem is that they're white, require transformation, maybe we need red papers. I would also like to see red papers. Basically, it's going to be quite a complicated problem. I think from many of your questions have exposed that, the concurrence between different things, but what is the particular role of the Department of Public Works in regard to other spheres of government, in regard to other departments, and so on. So the process that we're envisaging is we've started already with a review of the existing white papers, which we think are inadequate, and lots of things have shifted. We will then develop another, I suppose it's going to be called a white paper, but maybe we can call it something else, but a policy perspective, which would be tabled in the NCOP and in the National Assembly, for public discussion as well. And then we would move towards a bill, a public works bill, also ask for public discussion. After the public discussion phase, then it will be tabled in Parliament for passing. We think that's going to be quite a drawn-out process, but we must complete it before the end of this administration. So that's roughly how we're approaching. I thought you were going to ask me about the expropriation bill, but we'll come and talk to you about that soon. That's really a role on that one. It's gone through NEDLAC, Freezy and so on. I'm looking forward to really having the expropriation bill in the coming months.
Thank you. You know, the deputy minister starts as a vehicle that uses diesel, very slow. Now, he thought me when he started, but he's the one who is very hot, who wants to take the trip up here. Thank you very much, deputy minister. Minister, we also appreciate your guidance, the information that you imparted to us, and I'm sure we are better than yesterday. In today's meeting, in understanding the strategic plan of the department, its vision and mission and going forward, and the programs, we do appreciate that, and also the honesty, you know, because we are dealing with public funds here, so I think we do appreciate that, and also you must not be tired when you see members coming to you individually to want to know more about this department, because we are very new into this committee. And so we would grapple sometimes on some of the matters that you have raised. But nevertheless, thank you very much, Minister DM and NOTG, in providing us with the answers. Ladies and gentlemen, to the Select Committee, I think the Select Committee on Economic and Business Development, having considered budget vote number 7, it's budget vote number 7, public works and the annual performance plan 2014-15 of the Department of Public Works, the fact that it has concluded its deliberations thereon.
because they did give us all this that we wanted to know. So we agree that we have concluded this department today. Surely, if people do want to have some more questions, then we can do that continuously or publicly. But we also take the point that we might want to come back and deal with the issue that was raised by Honorable Lont in as far as the EPWP program, so that we understand more. So assist in monitoring, doing oversight in provinces where these matters take place at the municipality level also. Do we agree with ladies and gentlemen on the matter? All right. With those words, please, you are recognized.
This office is definitely I find it very uncomfortable.
Which office?
This
office. Oh, okay.
I don't even know what
we just put the right here in the middle.
All right.
And then also having my other honorable members sitting behind me. We like to look at each other.
I know.
I'm sending a complaint. Well, please. I have raised this last week.
Okay.
And we want to earnestly, please do not come together.
I think the point well taken, and it's very consequent. That's why you are so very emphatic. That is unfriendly. Well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. The meeting is adjourned. Until further notice. Thank you.